My name is Joseph. I am 17 years old. Today is November 28th, and I'm speaking with my grandpa, David, who is my grandpa. We are recording this interview in Henderson, Nevada. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood, what you were like as a child?
I was a twin. My brother's Donald. What my background? Like?
Yeah, just like about your childhood.
Well, our father was killed at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. We were 10 months old. We lived in a Navy housing project in Long Beach until first grade. Then we moved to Seattle, lived in a housing project in West Seattle. Our mother didn't work. She was basically uneducated. I think she went to the 10th grade. I don't know if she finished it or not. She had a small pension, didn't work. We didn't have a car until we were 16. Took the bus everywhere. The project was a horrible place, so it wasn't a happy time, I don't think, for us in those years. Our grandmother lived in downtown. We had some aunts and uncles. No real father figure. Our sister lived there, but she wasn't particularly close, neither was her husband, so that was the childhood.
All right. Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Oh, I got a master's degree in accounting from the University of Utah. We moved to Whittier, California, and I worked for Arthur Andersen, which is an international accounting firm. Hated every minute of it. We lived about 45 minutes from the office, which was in downtown LA, and it was probably 20 something miles from our house. It took easily 45 minutes to an hour every way. I remember it had no windows, so I went to work before it got light, worked long hours, and went home in the dark and never saw the sun ever.
My dad? Never saw my dad?
Oh, when I got home. He was born in Whittier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun time. I think living in Southern California was the bottom. Your father's birth was interesting. The doctor, your mother was in labor, and the guy said that the baby wouldn't come, so he sent your grandmother home, and then she was in hard labor. He couldn't have cared less. So I left work, got home about an hour later, and she was in full bore labor. And we drove to the hospital, but we didn't have any gas. And he was about ready to be born. So we made it on fumes, and he was just about born on the street. We made it to the parking lot, and like a dummy, I didn't go to the emergency entrance, so I parked the car. We walked across the parking lot, and she was screaming. And so I admitted her, and I was admitting her when your father was born a couple of minutes after he got to the hospital. And he was something else. He was screaming bloody murder. I think he was screaming louder than any baby they ever had in the hospital. And did that for the next couple of years. No, Whittier was the worst.
Alright. Are there any positive moments or memories from your life that you think shaped who you are today? Are there any negative events?
Positive and negative?
Yeah.
Well, the negative was my mother was an alcoholic, and she was falling down drunk, and a single parent. That was probably the worst.
No, how did that affect you?
Well, it affected me less than my brother. There was a lot of drama, and I don't know if she did her best. She didn't know what she was doing. So we had a rocky childhood. But when she got drunk and passed out, and the hangovers, it was horrible. And, you know, that was awful. I think the positive was when we moved to California, and I got involved in the church, and I met a family, the Ballantines, who kind of took me under their wing. They were, I think, the first normal family I ever knew. He owned a tile, largest tile company in Southern California. Big family, very nice family. And I practically lived with them, and their boys became kind of surrogate brothers.
When was that?
I was in high school.
Oh my God. Can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you've learned in life?
Well, I think as an accountant, as a CPA, I have a healthy distrust of people. And we learn an awful lot in public accounting about finances and how people spend their money and what's important to them. That was a nice lesson. I learned a lot about people at teaching school as a professor. Some people, an awful lot of people shouldn't be in college. They have fantasies that it's going to do them some good, but they're not equipped to get much out of the university. And then, so I can understand the bottom and how pointless it is at the bottom, but there are also some amazing young people who are very bright, very driven, and I think, I don't know if it's their parents or just them, but some students are very focused with a lot of energy and drive, so I've seen, this probably applies to above average students, but some above average students, but not exceptionally bright, do very well because of their drive and their ambition. And some bright students just don't have the drive or the ambition, and they kind of settle down in the middle someplace when I look at their lives later on. And then there are some exceptionally bright students who are driven, disciplined, and they just zoom right up to the top. I know I have students who are very successful multimillionaires, and most of them are just ordinary, educated people. But I taught in a discipline where students got CPAs, even if they hated their job, most of them had above average income. And I would always tell students, if you hate your job, it's better be paid well and hate it than scrimp by on some stupid social worker that doesn't get any money at all and has a lot of preparation at home. So a consuming job that doesn't pay well seems to be really ridiculous. And unfortunately, students don't get the perspective that they need to make wise decisions in college. I mean, I had several students when I was graduate director, they were majoring in these stupid things like French. What are you going to do when you get a bachelor's degree in France, where there are 50 million people that speak it better than you do?
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So, and what happens when nobody takes French? The French teachers get fired.
Yeah.
So, I mean, be my guest if you want to take art, or if you want to be the greatest trombone player in the world. But, I hope your wife or husband wants to die poor.
Right. What are your proudest, personally and professionally, in your life, like proudest moments?
Well, I joined the Navy, and OCS was brutal. It was during Vietnam. And I was very happy to be commissioned as an officer. And then I got a PhD degree with six children. And so I would say having six children was quite an achievement, since none of them have spent any time in jail.
Yeah, they turned out okay.
They turned out okay. But getting the PhD was professionally was the ultimate. It gave us a nice income and a very good retirement.
Yeah.
So none of my kids have to support me, which they probably wouldn't do if I asked.
I'm sure Katie would take you in.
Katie might, yeah.
I don't know about Sarah.
I don't know about the others. Sarah wouldn't, for sure.
We would take you in, Grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask your father as soon as he jettisons two dependents.
Yeah. I'm sure he's excited.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the dumbest thing you've ever done in your life?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is the houses we bought. the one in Whittier, good grief, I don't know what we were thinking, hated it, which is one of the reasons we didn't like Southern California. Then we moved to Seattle, hated that house. We decorated it like the Addams Family. I don't know what we were thinking. And then we moved to Oklahoma. Didn't like any of those houses that we bought or rented.
My dad always tells me about the one in Oklahoma.
In Stillwater?
Yeah.
With the rats and the snake?
Yeah.
Yeah, I woke up one day, the family was in Utah or Wyoming or Montana or something. I went home early because I taught summer school, and I woke up and I was sleeping with a snake.
Oh, jeez.
Good. And it went up the window and was crawling out the window. I didn't know if it was poisonous or not. So I closed the window and it got stuck in the window. And then I opened it and it fell back on top of me.
Oh, God.
And I just about freaked out. And then I didn't see it again. So for the next week, I slept on the couch in the living room. And I don't know where it was. It probably was in the ductwork of the house. But the snake and I got very close and personal. And I think it was a rat snake, which looked like this great big horrible snake.
Yeah.
But I think it had right round pupils. Someone told me, if you get close enough to stare at a snake eyeball to eyeball, which I was,
yeah,
if it has round pupils, it's not poisonous. I mean, they look like they could eat you, but I don't think it was poisonous, but I slept on the couch for the next week.
Did you ever find it?
Never found it, but it was probably eaten by one of the rats in the house. The house had a shaft. It had an elevator at one time.
Was it like a big house?
It was a crappy house, and it was completely gone to hell. But at one time, so all it had was a shaft where the elevator had been. It was horrible. So, I don't know what the question was, but the houses we've lived in was the answer to the question.
Those are the dumbest choices you ever made.
House, I think, yeah.
But isn't the one in Ogden?
The one in Ogden was in the best neighborhood in town. It was 3,750 square feet. It was built by one of the best builders in Utah. And he built all of the big, huge homes in our neighborhood where the doctors and the successful professionals lived. And so that was nice, but it was too big. And we didn't like the Homeowners Association. The one in North Ogden that we built from scratch, that the realtor said was our dream house, hated it. It was the stupidest house. But we had 2 weeks. We went there, got a contractor. I was teaching at the University of Delaware. So we came to North Ogden, picked that house out of two or three plans, made all the decisions in one day and went back to Delaware, and it turned out to be absolutely awful. So we were thrilled when we sold it, got out of there. But the word to the wise, when you buy a house or build one, take more than 5 minutes to make the big decision.
Okay. All right. Tell me the story of how you met Grandma.
I was a sophomore, I think, in my second year at BYU, and I had decided to major in psychology. And so one of the required classes was a class in abnormal psychology.
Yeah.
So I met her in abnormal psychology. And it was a rocky start because I was interested in her and she seemed to like me. But when she went home, she would see me from across the street and I didn't pay any attention to her. So she thought I was bipolar, and it turned out to be my twin brother. So he lived across from her, didn't know her from Adam, so he didn't speak to her or anything. And then she came, and I was all abnormal psychology, so, I mean, you don't go up and say, "Hi, Carol, I'm a twin." Isn't that cute? So the subject never came up. So
how did she figure it out?
She saw us together at a basketball game, I think, and then she realized I wasn't bipolar. I just had an abnormal brother.
She put it together.
She put it together.
Do you know the story of how and why our ancestors came to this country?
My father's side, the Durkee family, came. He was an Irishman in the 17th century, and during Cromwell, and Cromwell invaded Ireland and killed everyone in the opposite army. Except I think the Battle of Drogheda, he saved everyone, every tenth man, and sent them to Barbados as an indentured servant. So we don't know what happened, because the records that were, I think, maintained by the Catholic Church were all burned by Cromwell. And so we don't know before that, but he was an indentured servant. Went over to Barbados and then immigrated to Massachusetts. And so very old American family. My mother's family immigrated to Utah from Norway in the 1880s and 90s. So Norwegian and Irish almost completely. Our DNA indicates, even from your mother, Irish, Welsh, English, and Scandinavian. There's no Italians, no Spanish, no North Africans, no Native Americans, no anything.
So we're just white.
Just lily white.
Tell me about where you grew up and what your childhood was like.
Well, I've already said, housing project during the, well, I'm not aware of World War II, but we were alive. I remember bits and pieces of the housing project that was a Navy housing.
When did you move to Seattle?
We were first grade, so that was when we first saw snow. My mother was originally, she grew up in Salt Lake City, but she moved with her mother and two sisters and a son to Seattle. That was where I think our grandmother's aunt, our sister lived. So for some reason she went. My grandmother was divorced after her fourth child, so no child support. She said sixth grade, but she was an immigrant from Norway. So she was raising four kids before Social Security, welfare, or anything. Amazing that she survived, but she never had a nickel. We had to take up a collection to bury her. When she died, 96. What was the question? Oh, yes, she was a matriarch, very strong woman, but worked very hard all her life. She was a maid, housekeeper, just menial labor. So I think that the kids probably grew up without a mother or a father on something called Pigeon Hill in West Seattle.
What's the bad part of that?
Well, it was kind of a jungle part of town. There was, I can remember going to visit my aunt who still lived up there. I don't know what it's called, but we always called it Pigeon Hill. The streets weren't even paved.
Jeez.
She lived in this crappy house. So, I don't know, she never left. in her old age, my aunt went, she was a drunkard too, she went to the bottom of the hill, but that was her life. She was at the top of the hill, then she went to the bottom of the hill and was in a traffic accident and died. So, except for being a drunkard, that's her life.
Oh, geez. All right. Did you have a nickname? And if you did, how did you get it?
No.
You never had a nickname?
Mm-mm.
Not even in like high school or anything? Or the military?
Mm-mm.
All right.
Certainly not in college. No, never.
It's so strange. And then, what was your relationship like with your parents?
Well, there wasn't one with my father because he was dead. There was no stepfather. My mother, it was obviously close. We didn't have a car. Couldn't go anywhere unless we took the bus. So, and we visited Grandma on the bus, and we did travel some. We went to Wisconsin on an airplane, I remember.
Didn't your mom have like a sister?
She had two sisters. My sister, or my aunt, you mean?
Yeah, your aunt.
Yeah, Loretta had six kids. Rose had three.
Were you close with either one of them?
I knew David Menalia. He was, we saw him once in a while. He's, I think he grew up and he fixed clocks for high schools. And that was probably that her, Rose's daughter married this guy who can't stand him, but he's a motivational speaker. Completely 100% full of crap. But he's had a, been bankrupt, he's always driving fancy cars, full of himself. His wife, Donna, my cousin, is dumb as a rock, but they did okay. My mother used to always say that Rose's kids went to dummy school. I don't know if they have dummy school now. But they probably cleaned up the title. But that's what I always thought it was called, dummy school.
You guys didn't go to dummy school?
We, most of my family are stupid.
Yeah.
Except my mother married a sailor.
Oh.
And it,
he had the brains?
No one else that I knew did, so it must, and I didn't know him, but he did okay. So he had to have the brains. If intelligence is related to genetics, then it came from my father.
No, it is.
Hmm?
It is from your parents.
Well, it wasn't. My mother was the smartest of the four kids. But based upon my cousins, my brother and I got lucky.
Tell me about Don. Were you close with him?
My brother?
Yeah, your brother.
We dressed alike. So our identity was in the twin thing. The problem was we looked very much alike, don't you think?
Yeah, you still kind of do.
Still, yeah. I was better at everything than he was.
Really?
Yeah. So, he hated being a twin, and I liked it because I was
the better one?
The better of the two. So, always compared. People would stop us on the street and say, well, you have this, and this is different, and all this crap.
Really?
Yeah, they were always comparing us, and my mother was always telling stories about the twins. I think she felt that she had won the lottery. She was the only one who had twins. But we didn't grow up with separate identities.
Oh. Didn't she put you in like ballet school and all that
stuff? Ballet and baton. didn't have a clue in hell. She should have bought a piano or given us basketball lessons or something. If she had had two daughters, if she had had one daughter instead of us, they would have. Because my cousin was an old maid companion to her mother, and she's 78,
mm-hmm.
and has yet to go on her first date.
Seriously?
Never married, never went on a date. Went to correspondence courses for high school because she was too shy to go to high school. And she worked at Sears Roebuck for a while. And now, then her father died, her mother died, and she's in this house that in late 1930s, when they bought it for like $800.
She's still there?
She still lives in the house. I think the appraisal would probably go up to maybe $1,200.
Do you think
that's what happens when they won't let go of their kids? You become the friend and the old maid companion. And then the parents die and you live in the house with your, she had at one time 20 cats.
Jesus.
And she has a basement where they're all buried in wooden coffins.
Like little cat graves?
Cat coffins. Like 25, 30 of them.
How come she didn't get a date?
She was with mommy. You stay with mommy and daddy, kids, and they drop dead eventually, and you're stuck in the house, and if they leave you some money, that's wonderful, but you don't have to get married, but at least you have to make a life for yourself.
She's still kicking?
She's still alive. Last I talked to her once, she told me not to call back. And she said that she had often contemplated suicide, but she thought it was wrong.
Yeah.
The thing is, when she dies and goes to the other side, is anyone going to know her because she's alone in that house and her whole life? Maybe mommy will come back and they can find some cave someplace in heaven.
What was the worst thing you did as a kid?
I was a wonderful kid.
You didn't do anything wrong?
I had three friends. And I was one of them. Was Bruce, and he had a single parent, and this was ninth, maybe the end of eighth grade, beginning of ninth. He had a reprobate brother who was younger,
mm-hmm.
but good looking, and started smoking.
Oh.
So a few months after that, I was playing poker with Bruce in his house. And his brother came home. We went downstairs. His mother wasn't there. And Bruce asked for a cigarette.
Oh.
And he started smoking. And they offered me one. I said no. And we weren't very good friends after that. He started picking a crowd that was not the best. But then these two other friends of mine and Bruce asked me a few months later to go down to the YMCA in downtown Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And they never came back. I said no. So I don't know what happened, but they were in detention for an entire semester. And then I understand Dave Tolton, oh, I shouldn't say his last name, Dave He was African American. I didn't know much about his family, but I heard he was in prison for a grand theft auto. And Les, I think he just probably got run over by life. And Bruce, who was the smartest of all of us, ended up being a file clerk for some government agency, didn't, like a GS2 or something, made nothing. I was a manager for a local CPA firm, had my own office, and I had tickets to the Seattle, Supersonics.
Uh-huh.
So I asked him, because Carol, your grandmother was still in California, so I asked him if he wanted to go to the game, and so he came. He was living in some apartment by the University of Washington, for students. He lived in a little room and still smoking, had nothing. I often wondered. I heard he got married and had one son, but he chose the wrong crowd in ninth grade and flushed his future down the toilet. Words to the wise. So that's not the worst thing I ever did. It was the best thing I ever did. I said no.
Yeah.
Twice to smoking and to going to the If I had gone to the YMCA, you wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't be here.
I wonder what they did.
Well, I have a good idea, but I'm not going to say. But, we didn't see him for more than a semester. And when he came back, he was as hard as nails. I remember all the hoods in junior high school just gave him a pass because he was the biggest and baddest guy in school. But he never recovered, never, never recovered. Stupid, stupid decision. Some people come back. A lot of people don't. Most of my friends never did.
Yeah.
Because they had two strikes against them, they were project kids to begin with.
Yeah.
So when they made the wrong decision, they were just flushed down the toilet.
All right. Did you like school? Why or why not?
Yeah, I was always good at school. My father's genes.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that made us successful was we were smarter than most everybody else.
Yeah.
So that was our ticket out of the project. And we didn't abuse it, like I said. Bruce was in the project, but he didn't climb out of it very far, if at all. But the smart thing got us out of the project.
Was it weird to go to school with, like, a twin?
No, we were always separated. They never put us in the same class, so I never was in school with him, just to go to school, but not... Yeah, we're in the same class, but it was, we never, my mother made a big thing of a twin thing, but we never did.
Oh. All right, and then the last question, what was basic training like?
In the Navy?
Yeah, in the Navy.
I was G608 in Officer Candidate School. In Newport, Rhode Island, it was in the middle of winter.
Oh, geez.
And it was, we'd have to guard, like, parking lots from 12 to 4 in the morning. And I was never very military, but I remember there was this guy named Berg who was our section leader, and he had worked as a fireman or something. And he was tough. He was just one of us, but he was the section leader of about 20 people. We had to march everywhere. And some guy got in contact with me, I don't know how he found me, from the old Navy days. And Berg was is a retired Navy captain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that doesn't surprise me in the least. He was very military. The military was, even the OCS was rigorous in a lot of discipline, marching everywhere, getting up at 5:30, do calisthenics, cleaning the toilets, eating in 5 seconds. It was demanding. They had a swimming pool at OCS in Newport, Rhode Island, that they filled with tap water from Narragansett Bay in December.
So it's like freezing cold.
There was this old chief, and he would smile at us when he came into the swimming pool, and the hose was in the pool. It was a metaphor. And I'm surprised that there wasn't ice on top. And we'd swim back and forth until we threw up. I remember every time I went to the pool, I'd throw up.
Every time?
Just about every time. And then we had to do something right before we got off on Saturday. And for some reason, I was on the swim team. And I swam the breaststroke. And I'd do the breaststroke, get out, go into the snow, and throw up. So that was my training. Don't think I was ever very military, but great life. I can see why people stay in it. A lot of camaraderie that doesn't exist outside of the Navy. And some of my best friends I would consider, two of my best friends were Navy people, and they stayed in. Well, one stayed in for a career, and the other one didn't, but they're both dead. Great people.
All right. That's it.
Okay. Hope you get an A.
I'm sure.
What is it for? What do you do with it?